We've had quite a year, haven't we, since last Feast of Trumpets. You've seen a lot happen. A lot not happen. And we know all this is going to come to a head and be over with one of these days when Christ returns. We're told in 2 Corinthians 15, 51, 52, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." We're looking forward to this time. Also tells us that those who are alive will not precede those who are dead. We drive by cemeteries all around northwestern Arkansas. Seems you can't hardly go a few blocks, but we see another one. We think about people that we've known, many we've not known because they've been dead for years, that God has called, and God will choose out of those graves. And we will, I believe, actually, we could actually see them raise up out of the graves when God returns, when Christ returs. It's just an awesome thing to think about. Yes, we're looking forward to this time, this day, today, in God's plan for the return of Jesus Christ and his government on earth. I don't think any of us really care about the government we have right now. I mean, we don't like what it's doing. But there'll be a righteous government. Yes, we do. We drive the cities and the back roads. We see multiple cemeteries. They're full of people waiting that day when they'll be resurrected. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to read 13 through 18. It says, "I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words." And some people misconstrue this, "we shall always be with the Lord," like it's rapture. That's not what it means. It just means that we shall always be with him, not with him in the air. We all have the desire to be in God's kingdom and be a child of God. Yet it seems to be so difficult to accomplish. God's instructions is simple in theory, right? You see, we are the ones who are responsible, all of us individually, are responsible for making it a joyful journey or a difficult process. Helping determine the comfort or stress of this process rests on our relationship with God, with our Creator God. We all like the blessings that we receive from God, yet we all have an obligation to fulfill in order to receive those blessings. It is a process that takes a lifetime to complete, sometimes a lifetime of struggles. This process is called conversion, to change and go a different direction. Just like electricity, it converts, changes from one thing to another. We're given instructions, an outline, or a guideline, if you will, in the book of Matthew. I'll just read this, Matthew 6, verse 33. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Here is talk about people needing things, but if we seek God's kingdom first, and he'll provide our needs. Here we speak during the Sermon on the Mount, and I've given valuable instructions on how we should conduct ourselves. Why does it seem we have such a difficult time with this conversion? I can get my glasses off. I think it would be better. For one thing, we'll have to deal with human nature. We can call this enmity or dislike for God's law, or an enemy of God's nature. You see, this puts a barrier between us and God. Proverbs 21:2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. We see this today with people fighting one another, you know, demonstrating and everything. Their way seems right in their own eyes. But the Lord weighs the hearts. Proverbs 16:25 tells us, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. This world, this generation of man is dying. So you see, we have a problem right from the beginning. In fact, our problem started in the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. Doesn't seem possible, does it? But it did. Started with our first parents, Adam and Eve. When they rejected the real God and decided to follow a false God because of the deception causing sin, he, Satan, was using. It's Revelation 12:9. There's a path, there's a plan that our great God has that will end this turmoil of today's worldview. We're told in Matthew 24, take heed that no one deceives you. We live in a very, very, very deceptive era of our society. It seems like lies have become the norm of today's media. Our news, and from the very ones that are supposed to be protecting us, I'm not going to belabor the fact of who said or who did what, because I believe, unlike the media, I believe you have real brains. You can determine what's being said or done without the media or I having to tell you what you need to believe. That just causes more confusion. Brethren, we live in an exciting yet very tumultuous times. Verse 4, let's go to Matthew 24. Read 4 through 7. I've read part of it. So take heed that no man deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. We have been living in a very unsettled time since early 2020. We have seen the scourge of the coronavirus pandemic and the aftermath of being quarantined, wearing masks, and social distancing. That reminds me when I was a kid in PE, you'd all stand here with your arms out like this so you could four apart so you could do your jumping jacks. That was our social distancing then. The unrest of the riots and the destruction of property by anarchists using the death of a black man in police custody in Minneapolis, and this was wrong under any circumstance. They've used this as an excuse to create violence. This was not just isolated in the city of Minneapolis, but rather used as an excuse to riot, to raise chaos in other cities such as Seattle and L.A., as well as spreading to other smaller communities, such as our own Northwest Arkansas. It was pretty much put to rest here when they came. But this as an attempt to disrupt the whole country. Continuing in verse 8 of chapter 24 of Matthew, it reads, "These are the beginning of the beginnings of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and hate one another." Yep. We live in worse times. Verse 11, "Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." It's not here yet. We're still waiting. This day, today, in God's plans, the Feast of Trumpets represents that day in the future when Jesus Christ will return and put an end to all the turmoil of this dying age. I'll just read this from the Revelation 11:15. Tells us, "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. He shall reign forever and ever.'" No, not today. It's not that day. We do not know the day nor the hour that Christ will return and fulfill the next stage of his plan of salvation for mankind. The Day of Atonement, which we will observe in a week from this coming Monday, pierces the removal of that great deceiver, Satan, the devil. Revelation 12:9. Let's read what Paul says in Romans 8. Verses 18 through 25. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation of the creature eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him, Jesus Christ, who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of the corruption of the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but the hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it to be If we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." Yes, brethren, that time's not here yet, but it will be, I think, soon. There is work to be done, as it says here, preach the gospel and prepare a people. We must not become so distracted with all the lies and the untruths that come at us like arrows every day, but be strong and endure to the end. And remember Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his presence. Thank you.